Turkey Run. Tricia made a quick call to Glenn to check up on the situation in Magnolia. Phil Farmer was at the church this morning, crowing about his part in arresting Quentin Russell, he told her. He spent most of 10 minutes outside in the parking lot after services howling about how Roy was unfit to be sheriff and how it was time for a good house cleaning in the sheriff's department. He knew about the incident with Will Seeley and used that as an example of how the department was being filled with undesirable elements. Some of the folks from around Pearl and Possum Hollow complained to me about how Seeley and lectioneering for Farmer while out on patrol. Sounds to me like Farmer tried to throw Seeley under the bus, Tricia commented. Well, there were just as many people saying the Farmer was right. I'm beginning to think the Farmer might just win the election. Changing the subject, has Greg been successful in having Quentin Russell transported back to Fuller County? He's supposedly on his way, Glenn said. Roy headed to Highland County about 2 hours ago to get him. What about our charges over at the Blue and the Gray? They're hanging in there, a little stir-crazy according to Lizzie, but they're managing. That's good, Tricia said. How about you? Are you on your way home? Glenn asked. She filled him in on her encounter with Hoke and told him about Hoke's request. They ended their phone call when she was roughly 3 miles from the county line. Her phone rang again just moments after she talked with Glenn. Stop at the roadside rest just the other side of the county line, a voice told her. The caller immediately hung up. She immediately became suspicious of the request. Remembering what Hoke had said earlier, she decided to drive past the seemingly empty rest stop when she got to it. 2 minutes after she passed the rest stop, her phone rang again. This is David, he began. This time she recognized the voice. Turn left off the highway at Turkey Run Road. Park in the back side of the corner store and shut down your engine. You're being followed. Who's following me? She asked. I'm not so sure. All I know is that someone pulled out of the rest area within about a minute after you passed it. I'll meet you at the store and take you the rest of the way. David ended the call before she could ask any more questions. She briefly considered going directly to Magnolia, but decided to trust her guardian angel one more time. A minute after pulling into the back of the convenience store, David pulled up to next to her driving an old Jeep Cherokee. She took her belongings with her and got inside. Less than a minute after that, they were headed up Turkey Run Road toward the northwestern part of the county. I believe we lost her tail, he said, once they'd gone a few miles up the road. So who was it? Tricia asked. Someone working for the Ross brothers, or as they like to call themselves, Russell's men. Quentin Russell saved your life by killing you, didn't he? In a manner of speaking, yeah, he smiled. Uncle Quint's been a real good to the family for as long as I can remember. But he was working for Johnny Ross. On paper, yes. He really worked for that Gilbert fellow over in Prentice until about the time Johnny Ross was booted out of office. Daddy will fill you in on the details just here in just a bit. They drove for about 20 minutes up Turkey Run until reaching a gravel side road, which appeared to dead end at a creek about 500 feet past the main road. David shifted the vehicle into four-wheel drive and started driving up the creek bed. A quarter mile up the creek, he pulled off into an area where three other four-wheelers were parked. I take it you don't want to be found, Tricia remarked. Well, let's put it this way, someone would have to go through an awful lot of trouble to get here, David grinned. Tricia and David got out of the car and walked several hundred feet to a log cabin obscured by a copse. They were greeted at the door by Hoke. Come on in, he told them, giving each of them a hug. Welcome to Turkey Run Farm. She stepped through the front door to find that the cabin was much larger than what she expected. I've heard a lot about you, young lady. She was greeted by an older man, someone in his 80s or 90s. It took her only an instant to conclude that the man greeting her was Jim Brown Sr. She had seen the old pictures of him. Except for the obvious effects of aging, he looked much the same as he did in those pictures. I understand you've been looking for me. Well, as Mark Twain once said, reports of my death have been greatly exaggerated. Jim Brown shook Trisha's hand and invited her to sit down and make herself at home. There is the usual small talk while Hoke and David kept busy in one corner of the cabin making coffee. She had took the opportunity of the small talk to draw out her portfolio and a pair of pens with which she expected to take notes. 45 years, I think it was, Jim stated after coffee had been served and the four of them had been settled. Yep, it's about it. 45 years. He leaned back in what was obviously his favorite chair, a well-worn recliner with a footrest which came out when he leaned. Don't have long to live, he continued. I think the time has come for my story to be told. I know of at least one person who won't be too happy here in the near future. You've heard of Gilbert Ross. Well, he's a few years older than you. He's most likely to spend the rest of his life in prison. Not only for his sins, but for the sins of his father and his father's brothers. It's about time for it to happen. Gilbert Ross and most likely his children are going down the same road as his father's and his uncle's went back in the same time he was born. Gilbert Ross is dealing and peddling in human flesh, Ms. Michaels. He's trading the lives and the blood of our children for his love and money of power. The altar of money will always demand the blood of our children, Mrs. Michaels. It's true when it comes to war, and it's true when the money comes from the peddling of human flesh. Children. Patches of sunshine punctuated an otherwise gray and dreary afternoon. Those patches streamed at times through the windows of the cabin where Tricia Michaels had been welcomed by Jim Brown. She expected her arrival to have been heralded with a gun held up to her head. Instead, she was expected, an honored guest in a home which had been serving as a hiding place for over 40 years. I've heard a lot about you, Mrs. Patricia Knox Michaels. You're a freelance journalist out of Prentice. I've read some of your work. I'm impressed. Thank you, she said, accepting the compliment. I suppose that you know that I want to clear up a few things about you, your family, and about events which happened on or about the first part of October 1967. It started when I stopped at the Possum Hollow Cemetery and encountered a woman named Sally Brown. After doing some basic research, I found out about your family. I want to hear your story. Have you ever had children, Mrs. Michaels? Well, I'm afraid I haven't. I planned to do it when I was young, but decided to wait until I saw which way life was going for me. I eventually decided against it. I never officially married until a couple of years ago. Well, having children gave me the biggest pleasure I've ever had in my life. Jim Brown beamed as only a proud father could beam. My first two, David and Sally, were my pride and my joy. Not that I didn't love any of the others any less, it was just that my first two were extra special in my eyes. They grew up too fast, Mrs. Michaels, in the twinkling of an eye. I was looking at two children on the brink of growing up and becoming adults. The one problem I had with my daughter had to do with Johnny Ross. Johnny Ross took a shine to Sally after his wife died in 65. She was already showing signs of womanhood when Johnny Ross took her up Reed's Trail over near the cutoff. Is the cutoff what you call the side trail about halfway between your place and Rattlesnake Ridge? Tricia asked. That's the one, Jim told her. The path runs parallel to the ridge for at least 5 miles. Before the highway was built, it was a main road if you were riding on horseback. It had been forgotten by everyone except the Shiners. There are maybe half a dozen stills between the hollow and where the path come out in the highway below Pearl. Sheriff Ross and his buddy ran those stills. When Nadine was killed and I disappeared, Sheriff Ross had to shut down those stills. You see, the state and the revenuers sent their men to come to help hunt for the both of us. Johnny Ross cost some people their living, Tricia concluded. No wonder he wasn't reelected. Well, he was in between a hot rock and a hard place, Jim continued. If his stills were found, he'd have been in jail. If it was discovered that he put Sally in the family way, he'd have been in jail. If it was discovered what he was doing for little Lou Gilbert, He'd have been in jail. Well, after running a jail himself, he wasn't too anxious to go in there cause of wanting to be one of the inmates. He engineered a couple of things to keep him out of trouble. He started a story about David that he'd been fucking his sister and that was his fault that she had to get the abortion. Well, it was known why she was sent to Cincinnati by the county home. News travels fast back in the hills. Fred Granger was having sex with her, at least until the morning of the disappearance, Tricia pointed out. We was okay with that. Me and Nadine figured that Sally and the Granger boy would start playing around at some time or another. We counted on her showing up with a grandbaby afore the 10th grade, dropping out and living out her life just like everyone else in the area did. When she started complaining about woman things to Nadine, we first thought we were going to have a talk with the Grangers earlier than we thought we would. That's about the time the picture showed up. Around the middle of September, Quentin shows up at the house and shows me and Nadine naked pictures of Sally, including a few where she was being used by Johnny Ross. I was ready to go up reeds and shoot this son of a bitch in cold blood. Quentin talked me out of it. He told me the better way to take care of Johnny Ross was to hurt him in a way he couldn't quit hurting. That's when we come up with the idea of disappearing. We figured if me and Nadine went missing, there'd be a huge search which Johnny couldn't afford, seeing as how he'd lose his stills. We also knew that he couldn't do nothing with the kids, especially Sally. All of them except David, which would be sent to the county home. If the sheriff did anything to prevent it, he'd be exposed for what he'd done to Sally. We thought we had the deck stacked against Sheriff Ross until that morning when Joey came knocking at the door. Tricia kept writing notes in her portfolio while Jim Brown continued. When he come, we had no idea where Sally was, although we suspected that he was over to the Grangers. David was up and ready for trouble. We wasn't ready to go, and I didn't plan on going for at least another week, so when Joey and his boy come up demanding Sally, we figured something was up. When Joey up and killed Nadine, me and David knowed it was not good, it was just going to be the two of us. Well, David told me that you restrained him from shooting Joey Ross right there on the spot, she interrupted. David and me had this talk about 2 days before everything happened, Jim smiled. I told him about what we knew and what was going to happen. I told him why we weren't going to just march right up Reed's trail and kill that son of a bitch, Johnny Ross. When the day come and he watched Johnny's brother kill his mother, all it took for me was to gently point his rifle aside for him to get the message. We wasn't going to get mad. We would just get even. Just after Joey left, we knew we had maybe 5 minutes before something had to be done. I decided to carry out part of the plan and headed down the hollow on foot, intending to find a way to get out of the county fast. Quentin come up when I was halfway down. I told him what happened, and he took me to a place in Jackson where I could be safe for a day or two while I could figure out what to do next. All hell broke loose at home as I heard it. I made it down to Kentucky and stayed there for a while until this place is ready. Except for some regular visits down to the home place, I've been here ever since. Now, I don't regret what I'd done. For the most part, everything turned out for the better. My kids had real lives. I got even with Johnny Ross, and now I'm just a retired farmer waiting for the final act. Well, why didn't you go back once the search was over? Tricia asked. According to Quentin, Johnny Ross smelled a rat. He knew that Nadine was Quentin's sister, and if that was something happened to her, Quentin would most likely take him down. Quentin stayed on as a loyal deputy and head enforcer for Lou Gilbert till about 1970 or 71. Him and his boy caught religion for a while and come down to visit me while I was still in Kentucky with a preacher named Murphy. He had this woman with him, a single mom with a girl about Evan's age. I had the mother a few times while he was here and found out she was pregnant by me a few months later. She had a little girl she named Lori. I've met Lori, Tricia told him. She wasn't living that far from Quentin Russell. She claims that you were getting ready to sell her. I can understand how she would think that. Quentin come down a few days after she arrived to help me get her out of sight. Her mother sold her to Gilbert Ross, Joey's boy, and when Lori's sister was killed, she recanted and told the girl to run to me. Gilbert arranged the action of what killed her mother. Well, how do you know this? Quentin told me, Jim stated. I heard it from others, too. Like I told you before, word travels fast, you know. So I'm told. How do you know that Lori was sold by her mother? Well, it seems the older sister had been sold to the preacher Murphy as a way for her mama to make extra money. Selling off younger girls to older men happened more than you think. Well, I'm starting to get the idea there's quite a bit of it going on, Tricia observed. For what matter, it still is. Well, that's part of the reason we're holed up in here, Jim Brown told her. This buying and selling is back on the upswing. It's almost as bad as it was back when I runned. Some ways, it's almost worst.